Take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, please. Yesterday afternoon, I taught my heart out in Des Moines at a 4 o'clock session, and the evening was scheduled to be sort of a free, easy, happy time, and I wasn't supposed to teach. So we listened to the Telecasters for an hour. That's the Winkle Witches and their group. They'll be at the Rock Ages, and they're just great. They just cut a new album. They did it on 16-track, whatever that means, and they laid it all together, and I'm sort of anxious to hear that. But anyways, they just got me so inspired that I thought I just had to teach a little bit of the Word before we showed the Rock of Ages film. And the thing that had gotten to me in the afternoon, in between the 6 and 7 o'clock session, was some beautiful saint of ours in that area who said, "Now, is there a simple way whereby you do research?" And I just never thought of these things, because maybe it is simple. I guess it is. But I'd never given it that thought. But the point that blew my mind, she wanted me to teach her how to do this within 5 or 10 minutes, you know, how you get to this. So, oh, she was beautiful, you know. I loved it. And as they were singing at that 7 o'clock, the Telecasters last night, I just became more and more inspired about something that I want to share with you tonight, the simplicity of the research of the Word. And we'll take Acts 1. Years and years ago, I tried to get people that were theological grads to look at the Word and to try the research. But you could never get them to do research because they came to the Word of God with preconceived ideas, and therefore they were not free to take a look at the Word and change their theologies or their beliefs according to what the Word really said. And the same thing is true today. You just can hardly find anybody who can do research. Here at the Way International, that's what we train our people. You know, not train them just to do research, but that's part of the core training and the life that's here, because all you have to do is live around here. This is what we do. This is just the way we live. So you pick it up. It's teaching many times without just sitting down and saying, "Here, this is how you do it." And I thank God for this place because, as far as I know, it's the only place in the whole world where you can absolutely do research in the biblical accuracy and the inherent accuracy of the greatness of this Word in the text. Chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise is the Gospel of Luke. "Have I made, O Theophilus," Theophilus means man of God, beloved of God, "of all that Jesus began both to do and what? Until the day in which he was taken up." What day is that? That's the ascension. "After that he threw," or by, or proceeding from, "pneumahagio, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now this word of God really disturbed me a number of years ago, quite a few years ago, because I was taught that when Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, that immediately afterwards he went out and hanged himself. Did the Harry Carey trip or whatever it is. Got rid of himself. And yet, here I was reading something that occurred on the day of the ascension, and it said, the apostles whom he had what? Now, if the word of God is the will of God, it has to mean what it says, and it has to what? Therefore, the apostles whom he had chosen If Judas had hanged himself, it should have said the apostles whom he chose with the exception of Judas. But he didn't. It said the apostles whom he had what? Right. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, it gives you their names. Last night, I lost a Sunday on a bet. I haven't lost a bet on the Word of God for a century. Lost it last night. Because I said if anybody in this auditorium, in their center reference, has Luke 6:13, I'll buy them the best Sunday Holiday Inn can make. And some visitor who had never been to a lay meeting before, that's right, bless her heart, she was beautiful, she held up her little Bible and she said, I've got it. And you know, my old German background, let me see it. And she had it. She had it. Luke 6:13 in the center reference of the apostles whom he had chosen. I wonder how many of you have it in the center reference tonight. I wouldn't lose any Sundays betting on you then, would I? It just really, I've asked this thing hundreds of times, as you all know. When I do this, like, I do this chapter, I think, in the foundational class. And I hit it there all the time. And I've asked hundreds of people. They didn't have it. Last night we ran into a wonderful person who did have it. And it blessed my heart to learn it. I told her last night, I said, I'll never forget this. Because that's just the way my mind operates, you know. For to learn it, that there was a Bible in extent that you could read, and down the center reference, it had Luke 6:13. Blessed me. Well, there in Luke 6:13, it tells you all the names of the 12 apostles, and if you count them, there are 12 of them there, of which one is Judas what? Iscariot. And in verse 2, it says, of Acts 1:2, the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. So now I have a problem in my mind. I was taught that Judas hanged himself immediately after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet I read in the Word of God on the day of the Ascension, all 12 apostles are there. I really got a massive problem. How am I going to get him dead, that he's literally dead, hanged himself, and then get him back some odd, almost 40 days later, still living? I got a problem. So do you. So you have to end up with one of two things. You either have to change your mind, or you'll have to say the Bible's wrong. That's right. If you want to continue to abide by your believing and teaching that Judas hanged himself immediately after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got to say the Bible's wrong. Because the Bible says that on the day of the Ascension, the apostles whom he had chosen were still there. Well, we'll take the Bible and change our theologies accordingly. Now, here's the great key, one of the keys to research. You've got to watch your pronouns. Whenever we work the word here, we watch our pronouns with a minute exactness. We watch time, place, all of these things, but pronouns is what I'm after now. And a pronoun, grammatically, is controlled by its closest associated noun. I didn't say closest what noun, I said closest what? It could go back to its closest associated noun, that noun which is relevant to that pronoun. Now, the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom? To whom who? The apostles whom he had what? Right. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 what? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being seen of them. Them who? The apostles whom he has what? Is Judas among that? for 40 days. 40 days. Speaking of the things, and Judas was still living. Then he couldn't be dead. He's still living. 40 days. I want to tell you, I wouldn't have done it. But praise the Lord, I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have Judas around. I'd have slugged him. I told him, go fly a kite. Look, you betrayed me. All the rest of the stuff, I don't want you in my outfit any longer or something. But I'm going to show you some greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight besides the pronouns. That's right. Now watch it. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them who? The apostles whom he has chosen, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise, or until the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye who? The apostles whom he has what?
Chosen.
Have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye who? The apostles whom he has chosen, shall be baptized with pneumahagion not many days hence. When they, verse 6, they who? Whom he had what?
Chosen.
How many?
Well.
Among which was Judas what? Therefore were come together, they, the apostles whom he had chosen, asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them who? It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye who? Shall receive lambano power, manifest power. And the manifested power is speaking in tongues. Right. You shall. It says, ye shall. And ye shall put it in the absolute tense. He doesn't say, if you want to. He says, do it. Right. Get with it. Ye shall. Ye shall. Lambano. Manifest. Dynamis, inherent power. The inherent power is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the inherent power. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, Christ came in. That's the dynamis. That's the inherent power. And Jesus said to them, before the ascension, he said, ye shall. Lambano, dynamis. He said, ye shall. Honda. That's power. After or when that the pneumahagion is coming to you, and ye who? Whom? Shall be witnesses, what? Unto me. Shall be what? Not defense attorneys, but what? Witness. You never need to defend truth. You've got to defend error. When you lie, you got to keep lying and keep defending it. When you tell the truth, you can forget about it. That's right. Every student that attends a Bible college or a theological seminary has to take courses, or at least one course, called apologetics. And apologetics means you apologize for being a Christian, basically, because you apologize for, you compare Christianity so that you have the arguments against Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, all the rest of the isms. That's apologetics. Well, as far as I'm concerned, we don't have to compare Christianity with anything because there isn't anything to compare with. That's right. There is no comparison. The rest are religions. Christianity is the way of a father with his family. It's the only one. That's right. There's no comparison. And all you have to do is witness. Just witness. That means tell it like it is. Just witness. It doesn't say if the neighbors like to hear it, you witness. Or if the people at the shop or factory on the farm, or if the kids in high school, grade school, college want to hear it. Didn't say, he said witness. Witness, that's all. Ye shall absolutely what? Be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem,
Judea? Where else? And then we made it at International. That's the uttermost part of the earth. International. Be witnesses, witnesses. Isn't that beautiful? Witnesses. You know what really blesses my heart? Was Judas here? Was this promise and all these other promises to Judas also? That's right. That's what I call love. After Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those other things, he showed up after the resurrection and he went right along with the other 11 apostles. And when Jesus Christ spoke to them, he included Judas. He said in verse 5, ye shall be baptized with pneumahagion. Ye includes the 12. And in verse 8, ye shall lambano power. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. He did not discriminate against Judas. And people, if we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, why do we want to discriminate against anyone? It seems to me that anybody who wants to, no matter how tripped out they have been on God's word, even after they've had the advanced class, silly. If they want to come back, they're free to come back. And in this ministry, you just can't ever get so that you say, look, you can't come back. That's a bunch of baloney. If Judas was allowed to come back and Jesus is our example, then there's nobody you're going to be running into who cannot come back to your fellowship. That's right. No one that you cannot forgive if you remember what God in Christ forgave you for. In verse 9 it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they who? The apostles whom he had chosen, including Judas Iscariot, beheld, he was taken up, and the taken up is the ascension, and a cloud received him out of their, T-H-E-I-R, the 12 apostles whom he had chosen. And when the apostles whom he had chosen, I'm in verse 10, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them, the apostles whom he had chosen, in white what? Which also said, ye men of what? Whoa, 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 back off. Now we have terminated the pronouns and we have established another noun. Previously, we had the apostles whom he had what? All the way from verse 2 through verse 10. Right? Right. Then in verse 11, we change nouns, major nouns, and we go to ye men of what? Galilee. All the 12 apostles were Galileans, with the exception of one, Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot came from the city of Issachar in southern Judea. The other 11 were all Galileans. Therefore, sometime between verse 10, two men stood by them in white apparel as Jesus went up, and before these messengers spoke, somebody split. Somebody left. Somebody went away, and that somebody was Judas Iscariot. Because all that was left were the men of what? Galilee. That's when Judas left. And sometime between the ascension and the day of Pentecost, he hanged himself. It says so in this chapter. Show it to you as I get to it. Which also said, ye men of what? Why stand ye? Ye who? Men of Galilee. See it? Just watch the pronouns gazing up into heaven. The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall, not will, he shall come in like manner as ye who, the men of Galilee, have seen him go where? In heaven. Great. Many theologians believe he isn't coming back. But I want to tell you something. Theologians didn't bring him the first time. They're not going to stop him the second time. That's right. The Bible says that when the fullness of time came, God sent his only begotten Son. God didn't send God, he sent his Son, says so. We just finished the book. Did you read the chapter last night? Boy, isn't that heavy? God sent his Son. And the Word of God says that he's coming back. When the fullness of time is again full and God is the clock. He's the one that keeps time. I don't know if he got a Benrus or Longines or what he's got. But it's godly time, and in God's time, he is coming back. You know, isn't that beautiful? Isn't it wonderful that people cannot inhibit his progress? Wouldn't it be something if they could? How grateful I am for his word. Now a man may say to me, are you sure he's coming back? Sure, I'm sure he's coming back. How do I know? I speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I couldn't have Christ in me if God didn't raise him. Then I couldn't have been born again, right? Uh-huh. You see how we put the noose around their neck and pull it tight? Nobody's ever born, could be born again except God raised him. And if you're born again of God's Spirit, it said, ye shall lambano. So we speak in tongues. And the speaking in tongues is the proof that we have Christ within, and we have Christ within because God raised him. And I couldn't have Christ within if God hadn't raised him and if he had not ascended. And if he hadn't given something on the day of Pentecost, which is the new birth. You see how that whole word fits together? Nothing wrong with the word. It's only people's stupidity and ignorance and devilishness. That's all that's wrong. Nothing wrong with the word. The word's right on. That's right. Well, verse 12. Then returned they who? The men of what? Unto Jerusalem. I'm always surprised they went to Jerusalem. One would think they should have gone to Paris. Or maybe Amsterdam. Why did they go to Jerusalem? Jesus had said to what? And for the believers, the word was the will of God. It meant what it said, and it said what? So they went where? From the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they who? The men of Galilee were come in. They went up into an upper room. Is it the day of Pentecost? It's the day of what? Long before Pentecost yet. Where abode. Both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of what? And if you count them, you'll have 11. All men of what? Right. That's the upper room was a place where they what? Abode. You know what that means? Where they put their PJs on and brush their teeth with Ipana. Lux. Maybe that soap makes you clean clear through. So, that's where they abode. You know. It's where they took their showers and so forth and so on. It's not the day of Pentecost. Everything basically that the Christian church has taught on the greatness of this chapter, they have screwed up. That's right. They have just blown it. on everything. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if they have blown it, and you can read the word yourself, then why do you want to go along with that kind of junk your lifetime? Seems to me if you had any audacity in your life, any intestinal fortitude, and for you people that don't understand that, I mean plain guts. Boy, when you see God's word, you ought to make a decision for God's word and say, thus saith the Lord. Because when life is over with, you don't stand approved before God because somebody approved you down here. You stand approved because you rightly divide the word. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm more interested in God in the future than I am in you in the present. Or your criticism. Or anybody else's. That's right. So are you. Well, still isn't Pentecost, my Bible. These all who? The men of what? Continued with one accord, prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And in those days, what days? The days between the ascension and the day of what? Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about a what? How many? Not 120, a what? About! When it says about, you know what it means?
About.
Round one over. About. Yeah. It's over. Right. 120. I had the bout. Is it the day of Pentecost? No. If it was the day of Pentecost, even like they've taught, they've all taught there were 120. It isn't the day of Pentecost, so they're wrong in every count. Well, anyways, Peter's standing up. Verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Pneuma Hagion by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he's numbered with us, had obtained part of this ministry. And then they select someone to replace Judas Iscariot. Now let me show you another piece of logic in research. In verse 2, it says, the apostles whom he had what? Had Judas hanged himself immediately after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, then after the resurrection and before the ascension, who would have been the logical person to replace the 12th apostle? Jesus Christ. But he didn't. Got it? Look, okay, start right at the beginning, row your marbles again. Here we go. In verse 2, who chose the apostles? Jesus Christ. Now, if Judas hanged himself immediately after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, then he was dead, right? Jesus Christ then was resurrected. Judas was dead. Who would have been the logical one to choose the 12th apostle again? Jesus would have. Why didn't he? That's right. Hallelujah. Wonderful. But he didn't because Judas was living. So now, told you it's happy time. So now, after the ascension and before the day of Pentecost, which is 8 days, during that period of time, Judas hangs himself. And Peter gets together with the about 120 and they have a meeting. And what do? Select someone to take Judas's place. Isn't that beautiful? Sure. What says? Now this man, verse 18, had purchased a property with the reward of iniquity. That's money he stole out of the bag. He was a treasurer. Falling headlong, he burst asunder, and all his bowels gushed out. I used to think he hanged himself on a rotten rope. But he didn't. He impaled himself on a sharp instrument. That's why his bowels gushed out. That was hanging in the Bible. It wasn't tying a rope around a tree and doing it that way. It was impaling yourself upon a sharp instrument, like a sword or one of those staves. Is that what you call them? Spears. That's what I think of. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, in so much as that field is called in their proper tongue Akedama. That's the sale, the field of blood. Well, the verse 20 says, for it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, and his office, bishopric, or charge, his position, let another take. And the word take, by the way, is the word lambano. Just not enough to get elected. You got to do something about it. Wherefore are these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was what? Taken up from us. Must one be ordained to be a what? Witness with us. A witness with us of the basic truth of Christianity. And what is that? The resurrection. Everything is contingent upon the resurrection. And they made to stand two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, thou Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show if either of these two thou hast chosen, that he may lambano take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. I like this. They use this, that Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place, and they teach that he went to hell. It doesn't say he went to hell. He said it went to his own place. Now you go home tonight. Go to your own place. I hope it isn't hell. If it is, you better take heaven you have in your heart with you. It dispels the darkness. I don't know what happened to Judas. The Bible doesn't tell me except he died. But I do know this, that this word does not say he went to hell. Why everybody wants him to go to hell so badly, I can't figure out. I don't want anybody to go to hell. You? Really? I don't. But somehow or other, they've got it in for Judas. And therefore Judas went to hell. I think sometimes they like to see him go to hell so badly because they got so much hell in themselves or something. Boy, if you really understand the word, you want people loved. You want people blessed. You don't want people to be destroyed. I know that this particular verse says that he lambanoed of this ministry and apostleship which Judas by transgression fell. By transgressing, he transgressed it. If Judas had gone back to Jerusalem with the other 12, the other 11, and would have stayed in the upper room and gone to the temple with the rest of them and believed God, what would have happened to Judas on the day of Pentecost? He'd have been born again. It was he who blew it. He walked away, it says. He left. Not God. God didn't forsake Judas. Jesus Christ didn't drive him out. He, by his own free will, made a choice. And that's the transgression. He walked contrary to God's word that he might go to his own what? And we just read what his own place was in verse 18. He went home and he committed suicide. Hanged himself at his own property, on his own property. Verse 26. And they gave forth their ballots, it is. And the ballot was for Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 what? And Matthias was a Galilean. So now you have Matthias numbered with the 11, and you again have how many apostles? 12. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they who? 12 apostles, because the pronoun is controlled by the closest associated what? noun. The apostles were all with one accord in one place. There suddenly there came a sound from heaven. A rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they who were sitting. And there appeared unto them who, the apostles, the 12, cloven tongues, sat upon each of the 12 of them. And they, the 12, were all filled. And they, the 12, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? So, now we again have 12 apostles, but Matthias is the 12th one who replaced Judas Iscariot by this action here recorded in Acts chapter 1. This is why in verse 14 of the second chapter, Peter standing up with what? How many? 12. On the day of Pentecost, on the original outpouring, only 12 received. You see how we've taken so many errors out of teaching and understanding simply by watching carefully what is written, reading what is written, and watching our pronouns. In the Gospel of John, back a page or two, it's Luke, isn't it, where these fellows appear after the resurrection on the resurrection day, Sunday or something, whatever it is, when he appeared in resurrection. And the last chapter maybe of Luke, Luke might have it. Take a look. Okay. Verse 24. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and one of the 12 was not there. Who was that? Thomas. Then Judas must have been there. You see? One of the 12 was not there, and that one was Thomas. And it was Thomas, you know, who said, except I see in his hands, where is that recorded? Where? What verse? Who's got it? John? Good. After 8 days again, his disciples, 24. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the place of the nails, thrust my hand in his side, I will not what? Really beautiful. So class, when you take this word of God like we've done here again tonight, and you just watch your pronouns, just see how many things become clear that have been total confusion. Now the people who have taught the errors have been sincere enough, but sincerity is no guarantee for truth. And you just work the word and let the word speak. And all you have to do is change your thinking. And that's not difficult once you become acclimatized to doing it. And we Christians should always stay open to learn more of God's Word. See, the way ministry has never said we know it all, we never will. Because we know Him who knows it all, but that's one thing. But the Word He magnified above His name. And there just is not enough time, life, spiritual perception in any man or woman to fully comprehend what the word's all about. And therefore, our ministry, people, has to stay a ministry of growth. We have to stay open to God's word and willing to learn. And as we learn more and more things, then we just share them with our people. Because every bit of light dispels darkness. And it's like Reverend Townsend said tonight, If you're afraid of making a mistake, forget it. Because all of us make them. None of us rightly divides the word everywhere. But at least we don't handle the word of God deceitfully, if we know better. And that's why I'm very concerned, like this week, why don't you just take your own time and read that first chapter again, that you understand it, that you can really incubate it within yourself. Then sometime you can teach it to somebody, okay? It's wonderful. Father, thank you for your word, your goodness, your greatness to us, and your love. Thank you for your blessing on our lives through Christ Jesus. Amen. Wonderful. Thank God you came tonight, been a part of the fellowship. Take the word of God with you this week wherever you go and talk about it. Be a witness. It's beautiful having all you people in here from Michigan. I'll be there around 6 o'clock or 7 in the morning. So you just get back there and get everything in shape in Michigan this week, okay? This will be one of the weeks when you people in that greater Detroit area, boy, just put the ministry moment by moment in your conscious mind and spiritually keep lifting it. Because that's where it's happening this week that'll just bless millions of people around the world, right up there in your area. And we need to have a good week up there. We need to roll fast, accurately, and get a good job done. Okay? You help us do it, all right? I love you and I thank God for you.
We've got to start to learn to live together. And we've got to stand as a family on our hands.
most beautiful songs I've heard for a long, long time happens to be this next one. Just sort of soothes you out and makes you kind of really mellow. Because it's called, and very appropriately so, the Lord's Lullaby.
And be-